Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
From 2 Kings chapter 7, this is God's word. Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will sell for a shekel and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, how could this happen?" "You will see it with your own eyes," answered Elisha, "but you will not eat any of it." Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die." At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, "We're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace." So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, "We went into the Aramean camp and not a man was there, not a sound of anyone, only tethered horses and donkeys and the tents left just as they were." The gatekeeper shouted the news and it was reported within the palace. The king got up in the night and said to his officers, "I will tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know we are starving, so they've left the camp to hide in the countryside, thinking they will surely come out and then we will take them alive and get into the city." One of his officers answered, "Have some men take five of the horses that are left in the city. Their plight will be like that of all the Israelites left here. Yes, they will only be like all these Israelites who are doomed. So let us send them to find out what happened." So they selected two chariots with their horses, and the king sent them after the Aramean army. He commanded the drivers, "Go and find out what has happened." They followed them as far as the Jordan, and they found the whole road strewn with clothing and equipment the Arameans had thrown away in their headlong flight. So the messengers returned and reported to the king, "The people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. So a seah of flour sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley sold for a shekel, as the Lord had said." Now the king had put the officer on whose arm he leaned in charge of the gate, and the people trampled him in the gateway, and he died, just as the man of God had foretold when the king came down to his house. It happened as the man of God had said to the king, "About this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will sell for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." The officer had said to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen?" The man of God had replied, "You will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat any of it." And that is exactly what happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gateway, and he died. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. Our text this morning is not usually on the top 40 hit list of scriptures that people just love. Whoa, you know, could I get that as a plaque in my home? That's usually not the case with this passage. Why this passage? It's a long passage, and if you look at the context, just before chapter 7, You have a situation where God's people in the northern kingdom had been reduced to such famine that cannibalism was taking place. That's the previous chapter. And the reason that they were in that horrible condition was because of God's judgment on them due to their horrible sin. And of course, if you look again at the context, you see that the king who had led the people in horrible sin, that's the epitome of bad government, if you look at what happened, he then blamed God for the fact that things weren't going very well for the country. And he was very upset with God's spokesman, Elisha. It was just, you know, a sad situation. And then God decides that he has seen enough of the suffering and he's going to intervene on behalf of his people. And so he gives his prophet a message promising salvation that is so remarkable, so amazing, that those who hear it say, even God couldn't do that. I don't see any way that that could possibly happen. You're saying we're going to go from a situation of total famine, that's prolonged famine, to a situation where food is abundant and cheap tomorrow? Impossible. To which the prophet responds to the man who spoke what others were thinking, you'll see it with your own eyes, but you will not taste any of it. Now, I want to suggest to you, as point number one, that desperation is a gift. Desperation is a gift. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a pretty good fellow who was doing not that badly, like me. Right? No. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. Now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Verse 2. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Who discovers the fulfillment of God's promise in this chapter? Eventually, everyone. But the people that God revealed it to first were lepers outside the city gate, ostracized because of their condition, starving to death along with those who were in the city. And please note what they said about their situation. If we stay here, we're going to die. If we go into the city, we're going to die. So let's go over to the enemy camp and surrender. And if they kill us, well, then we die. But that's not really a change in our condition. It's a what have you got to lose scenario. And so they went to the camp of the Arameans thinking that they would surrender, and they found nobody home. There was no one there because God had chased the enemy away. God dealt with their enemy and gave them riches. When they first discovered it, they were really excited because there was food and they were starving. So they ate and they drank, and then they started collecting material things. And they took a bunch and they hid them, and then they went into another tent, found more of the same, and took some of that and hid it. And then they had a realization, an epiphany. They said, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news. I want to suggest to you that you don't really appreciate the gospel unless you know you need to be saved. And that when you come to the point of recognizing your own sinfulness and your need of a Savior, the good news is suddenly really good news. I have a brother who is an internationally renowned oncological surgeon, surgical oncologist, cancer surgeon. If I were to tell you, now he's retired now, he teaches and edits the most widely read surgical oncology magazine in the world, but that's an aside. If I were to come to you and say, I've got great news for you. I can get you cut up next week. Okay? My brother has agreed to operate on you. You wouldn't say, wow, thanks, that's great. I didn't know I needed surgery. Would you? But if you knew that you had a horrible malignancy that needed to be removed in order to give you a chance at a longer life, you'd say, you got your brother to do it? Oh, that's fantastic. I've read articles about him. You see, if you don't know you need cancer surgery, you don't want cancer surgery. But if you know that that's your only hope, you are eager for it. Jesus said two men went up to the temple to pray. One of them said, God, I thank you that I am not as other men. I do this and I do this and I do this and I don't do those things. Jesus said he was really just talking to himself. But there was another man who sat in the back, and he was so ashamed of his sin that he didn't even look up. He just hit his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, that man went home justified. God forgives sinners. He doesn't forgive excuses. He doesn't forgive boasting. He doesn't forgive our arrogance. If we think that God would really be fortunate to have us on the team, we're not on the team. There's a gift of desperation, of realizing how much we need God's grace. And when we know that our only hope is God's mercy, then we find peace. Then we discover that it is good news indeed. But when we find that salvation, we must share it. The lepers realized this is a day of good news. We're not doing right. We are here eating and drinking, and there are people still starving in the city. If we don't share this, we're going to be in trouble. Let me tell you something. If you know Jesus Christ and you don't share it, you're going to be in trouble. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. Don't blow the opportunity you have to share it.
Well, I don't feel that I'm just gifted as a speaker. You don't have to be a speaker, but you can talk. All of us communicate in various ways with various people. Pray that God will give us opportunities to share the good news. Sometimes they come in ways we wouldn't script. My oldest son was born with severe birth defects, major medical problems that have caused him now at age 42 to have had over 40 surgeries. But he had to have several of those surgeries just before he turned 2 years of age. And my wife was holding him in her arms, rocking in a chair in Division 33 of Children's Hospital in Boston when he was almost 2 years old. And she was softly singing to him, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And a man came out of the room across the hall and came over to her and he said, how can you be so happy and so peaceful when your child is going through this? And my wife shared with him how. It's because she knows Jesus. And she knows that the greatest suffering in human history purchased our salvation. That man not only got saved that night, he's a pastor in New England. His great fear about giving his life to Christ was that his mother would reject him. He was a member of a motorcycle gang, and Mom was okay with that, but the idea of her son becoming a born-again Christian was likely to be upsetting. Well, I don't know if she was initially upset, but within the year, she had given her life to Christ, along with over 20 other people that man had the joy of leading to Christ. Let me tell you something. We're not all supposed to be pastors. God forbid. But we're all supposed to shine. And when people say, "Why are you happy? I don't understand. This happened to you and you still just act like everything's going to be fine." Well, it is. It is. If you are in Christ, then no matter what our circumstances are, we know that the forever part is going to be wonderful. So when you find salvation, you must share it. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and He's holding out His hand.
We see also in this story that many people find the good news unbelievable. It's just, I'm sorry, I mean, I wish I had your faith. Have you ever heard that? Oh, I wish I had your faith. I wish I could believe. Usually, those who are powerful and privileged are the ones who are slowest to come to faith. Because again, they're not desperate. They don't see their need. They don't realize. They're young and fit. They're rich and trying to look fit. But the fact of the matter is, when you strip away the pretense, and it's 2:00 in the morning, and you can't sleep, something down inside tells everybody, there's got to be more to life than this. What am I going to do about the fact that I know I don't want to try and live up to those people's rules, but I haven't even lived up to my own? Let me tell you something. It's hard for some people to get through the eye of the needle. Jesus said so. But I love what one of the queens of England is reported to have said about her faith in Jesus Christ. She said, "I was saved by the letter M." What do you mean? She said, "The apostle says, not many mighty, not many rich, not many wise," describing those who are part of the kingdom. Paul says to the Corinthians, "Remember where you came from. not many wise, not many rich. She said, I am so thankful. He didn't say, not any. Saved by the letter M. Let me tell you, folks, God saves all kinds of people. Young, old, rich, poor, intelligent, and not so much. God saves people by grace through faith. What all of us desperately need is His mercy. In case you haven't heard me tell it, my pastor often told the story of the woman who went and had her portrait photographed and went back to look at the proofs. And when she saw them, she said, I don't believe these pictures do me justice. And the photographer responded, Madam, you don't need justice, you need mercy. That's what we all need. We need God's mercy. And God's mercy is abundant. But people, many of them, find it very hard to believe. And yet, God still keeps His promises, whether people believe it or not. God keeps His promises, including the promise that those who do not believe will be condemned. That's a promise. It's not, again, a promise that sells real well online, but it's true. It's good news, the Bible says, for those who believe, and judgment for those who do not. In 2 Corinthians 2:15 through 17, it says, For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. Why would he say that we can be like the smell of death? Because in John 3, verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Now that's God's promise. Receive him and have eternal life. Reject him and you're still under the wrath of God. It's not a popular message in our day, but there's never been a time when it was more needed. Well, are you going to end on that note? No, I'm going to remind you of the title. This is a day of good news. This is a day of good news. For all who believe, this is a day of good news. Whatever we go through, whatever we encounter, whatever difficulties there are, however long our day may be, or however short, the fact of the matter is, in Christ Jesus, we have life abundant, life everlasting. This is a day of good news.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.